I'm a passionate regional woman because I believe that your geography is not an obstacle to your success.
I'm a passionate regional woman because to me, regional WA is real and raw.
My work gives me the opportunity to travel all over this incredible state and to meet the most amazing people, for which I'm incredibly grateful.
It's all those personalities that make up our diverse communities. It's the people that make here a vibrant place to live.
I believe regional communities cannot achieve economic prosperity without talented regional women living in rural Australia.
It's what makes regional WA the best place to live and love. And that's why I'm a passionate regional woman.
Triple R Network podcast series by Generation Ag. We're your hosts, Kayla Evans and Lavinia Ware. Welcome to our fourth episode, Vin?
It's our fourth episode. I can't believe how quickly we're a third of the way through.
It's going so quickly. Yeah.
I know. I'm literally having such a great time, and you'll hear in the intro when I talk about this guest, but I've just had such a great time connecting with all these amazing women. Like, they've been so inspirational to talk to.
Yeah. I'm just loving, same as you, connecting with them and feeling what's a really common thread amongst all women in rural and regional and remote areas of Australia, but also overseas as well. And it's so good to connect with, yeah, so many like-minded women across the country and all over the world as well.
Absolutely. So the Triple R Network is a place where rural, regional and remote women of Western Australia can come together and connect. And I think that this podcast has been such a great way to do that, because we've been talking to people from all different areas of the agricultural industry around the state. And we've been meeting like-minded women who develop ideas, make connections and become leaders in their community. And they're the voice on the ground for the issues that impact women. And we've talked about a variety of different issues. And I think a lot of them are really close to our hearts. And it's really made us think a lot about what's been happening in society today. Previously, I mean, in the media in the last couple of weeks, we've been really reflecting on a lot of different issues, particularly with race. We're really learning a lot about how far we've come, but also how far in terms of equality, diversity, and gender roles we have to go. And I think talking to all these women is amazing, because we get to have that reflection, but also get to see what we've still got to achieve.
And I love that idea of becoming leaders, because I think we forget, especially women, and I'm going to sort of point out mums here, really forget that they are leaders in their community and leaders in their family as well. And I love that we get to highlight these incredible women and celebrate them for being the leaders that they are in their communities, in their families, on their farms, in their workplace, wherever that might be. I think any chance to celebrate our potential as women to be leaders and to be bosses or whatever that might be for you, this is such a fantastic opportunity for us. And we say it every week, but again, we're so, so grateful to be working with the Triple R Network to produce this.
Yeah, it's been very exciting. And I guess with that huge spiel, we'll lead into our segment of the week. We do our Women of the Week segment, where Kayla and I highlight a woman who's been really empowering to the Triple R Network or Australia or internationally. And we really just want to bring awareness to what amazing women are doing in terms of different businesses. There's so many phenomenal people doing some great things. So Kayla, did you want to start with your Woman of the Week?
Yeah, I did. My Woman of the Week was actually sent in by one of our listeners and a fantastic rural woman herself, Michaela Hendry.
And a beautiful friend.
A fabulous friend. And we can't wait to have her on the podcast one day soon, I'm sure. But Michaela nominated Daisy Goodwin. And Daisy is a local Western Australian now, but she was originally from Northern New South Wales, and she's an environmental science major. And upon completing her degree, she took up a job with the Western Australian Department of Primary Industries and headed to Broome in the Northwest. And Daisy was recently awarded last year the WA Young Achiever of the Award for Agriculture for her work with Aboriginal producers across the state. She's also completed an internship in Senegal around communications, health and nutrition, and she's currently working in Perth at the moment. In her spare time, as if that isn't enough, she teaches yoga and runs an organisation called Sustainable Simply, a blog dedicated to sharing information on leading a minimal impact lifestyle, which just about sums up just the incredible community of women, especially millennials, just doing so much for their community and the environment as well.
Absolutely. How phenomenal. What an amazing sort of spiel and a lot of achievements there. It's amazing that people can be so selfless to put themselves out there and really get amongst their community and change the social issues and things that are happening. There's a lot of issues, I think, that are still trying to be addressed now in our country that are often gone under the radar. So to have people like that is really amazing.
Mm. And can I just say, she's under 30 as well. And so as a 20-something, you know, I love reading about women, you know, our age doing amazing things, because doesn't it just light a fire to see other women doing incredible things? Because all it means is that it's out there for all of us to achieve what we want to achieve and, you know, change whatever we want to change in the world.
Absolutely. And just before we get onto our second woman of the week, what you're saying, Kayla, is truly resonates. I think you and I were just reflecting. It was only last August and there was actually the Growers Association mentioned the Triple R Network podcast, which is in collaboration with Generation Ag, obviously. And it's very funny. It's a full circle moment because that was one of the first instances we actually just talked about the idea. Didn't think anything really of it, except the fact that we're both go-getters and on this idea. So it really goes to show anything you want to achieve can actually happen. You just have to have the resources or seek out the people to be able to make it happen. Anything is possible.
Yeah, hustle hard.
That's for sure. So I want to get into this second one, which is another hustle hard. So Tori Kopi, shout out to you. She has been an amazing supporter of myself and just Rural Woman in general. So Tori is a rural business coach now, but she has previously been a marketing strategist and small business guru for the last 10 years. She's got a remarkable amount of experience in small and large businesses and loves working with small and regional businesses. She's based in Cunderdin herself, and she's created so many resources and done some amazing things for women and rural business in Western Australia. And she actually was co-creator of the Big Ideas Rural group, which is an inner circle that is the ultimate space for collaboration and community with expert speakers, monthly coffee catch-ups, and out of this world banks of bonuses. It is one of the best resources and things that I've ever been a part of. I'm so privileged I got to work with them previously and then join the membership and to have an amazing group. I think there's nearly 300 or 400 women in the Facebook hub group that are just passionate about this country and rural women creating their own space in business. Tori has now gone on to become a rural business coach because she just has so much knowledge and she's absolutely killing it. So yeah, if you want to learn more about her, just we'll link this below. But Tori is someone that if you're a rural businesswoman looking for direction, she is the number one resource I'd go to her. Tori, thank you so much for being a huge supporter of everything that we're doing, and we're so excited to hopefully continue to support each other and potentially see some collaborations with Big Ideas Rural in the future. So yeah, that is my woman of the week.
That's fantastic. Yeah, guys, and if you ever are keen, if you have heard us talk about a woman of the week and you want to know more about her, the organizations or the women themselves will always link in the show notes. So whether you're using Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whatever platform that so happens to be, it will always be linked in the show notes so you can find more information. Yes, that's the place to go. And whilst we're on the topic of social media, I think it's an important announcement that last week we started our, or was it this week? I can't remember now. We started our
Friday.
A whole week ago, just about. There you go. Time flies when you're having fun. We started our Generation Ag community Facebook group. So if you are an avid listener of the podcast, or even if you just listen to this Triple R series, come and join us. It is a community of, yeah, like-minded people, listeners of the podcast. Some people aren't listeners of the podcast, but they just want to get to know, other people who have similar interests. And yeah, we started this podcast to build community. And so this Facebook group's just the next step of that. So yeah, search it up on Facebook. It's Generation Ag Community. And yeah, you'll find us all there having a great time.
I can't believe how many people are interacting. It warms my heart every time I see one, a new interaction or a comment and everything. So yeah, Kayla and I are very friendly. We love to chat. So if you guys just want to get over there, then we'll chat with you and we can create some cool threads, because we're pretty excited to hear more about you guys as listeners and learn a bit more about you on a personal level.
Yeah, super excited. So on that, let's learn some more about today's guest.
So I got the privilege to chat with Lucy Anderson earlier in the week. So Lucy is a broadacre cropper. She crops with her husband. She's down south near Albany is where she has her main office, but they have farms in Franklin and Yeramungup area. So she's kind of spread around, and she's actually an agricultural agronomist, and she's just about to launch a new product. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about it yet because she is going to go more in depth in the episode. So you have to keep listening. But can I just say, it was so lovely to chat to her and so refreshing, but it also brought up a lot of sort of ideas, the fact that, you know, Lucy is the generation older than us, and the fact that there's still been not a lot of huge change in the agriculture industry in terms of how women are seen. It's very strange still to get a woman running a farm or managing it on her own. So there's a long way to go, but it's really nice the fact that we got to chat about it and talk about the next generation and what we hope for it, and hopefully what the next generation after us can be for agriculture. So yeah, it was a really lovely episode and I hope you all enjoy it.
How exciting. Let's go.
Wow, I can't believe we're back for another episode of the Triple R Network series. I've actually enjoyed these interviews so much. It's been really lovely to sit down with some empowering, amazing women. Today's episode is with Lucy Anderson from Albany. She has farms in a partnership with her husband on a broadacre mixed farming enterprise. She's got some farms near Franklin and she's got some farms near Yeramungup. So lovely to share that with me of her. As an agricultural agronomist, she recognized the need for an easy to use whole of farm business analysis tool to assist with building resilience in industry. Working with agricultural stakeholders, Lucy designed My Farm Smart. Using her own data, farmers can explore alternative scenarios, enterprise mix, and seasonal conditions. Lucy's project will deliver business development workshops using My Farm Smart with a focus on understanding the risk and financial outcome in a complex environment. This is not just Lucy. Lucy has an abundance of knowledge behind her. She's originally from England, where she did her first ag degree. She's got so much knowledge and she's got so much depth to her. And I had such a lovely chat with her. It's just been so lovely to be amongst all of these women. And I'm very excited when we get to all meet in person at a later date. So I hope you all enjoy this episode. And for any young women out there wanting to work in the ag industry, Lucy is a powerhouse and is actually a phenomenal woman. So Lucy, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I'm very excited to chat to you. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of everything that you've done, we love to ask all of our guests about their upbringing and what their childhood was like. Can you tell me about yours?
Oh, yeah. So I grew up in the UK in a family of educators, really. My father was a headmaster of a school, and my mother worked in school. She was like the personal assistant to the headmaster of a really big, you know, big secondary comprehensive school in England. And my background or my upbringing was all about schools, and, you know, all our dinner table conversations were all around school and school holidays and education. So quite a fair way from agriculture, really.
Yeah.
But the one that, what we did as the kids, we used to go on holiday every year to Cornwall. I don't know if you know England, but down in Cornwall we used to go there and stay on a a farm there. And so I used to help out on the farm, used to milk cows and help with the hay and in the cropping and the harvest. And so that sort of really started my interest in agriculture. And so that's how I sort of, I then eventually went into agriculture because of that real interest.
And what did you study when you went to university?
So when I was in when in the UK, I did a what they call a higher national diploma in agriculture over in a one of our tertiary agriculture colleges over there. We had three primary agriculture colleges when I was there, and I went to Seal Hayne and had a great time there and really enjoyed it. And so that's what I did over there before, and then I've done further studies since I've been over here in Australia.
Yeah. What do you think, before we get to, I'd love to know, because I actually do have family who farm in England and family friends who farm in England, and there are so many differences. What do you think the biggest difference for you coming to Australia in agriculture?
Yeah, it's a completely different farming system.
Yeah.
And I think the farming system is completely different. But what I will say is farmers all around the world are so similar. You know, like, because I've met farmers all the way around the world, and I just can't believe what similarities are between them. It's just amazing in the way they think and their culture. But the actual farming system between Australia and England, obviously there's a lot more water in involved in the farming system in England, and a lot more need to wear wellies. And it's quite cold. It gets very cold in the winter. But it's a great, I miss it. I miss the countryside in England.
Yeah, it's so beautiful and green, particularly in WA. We're not seeing that much at the moment, so you must miss it a lot.
Yeah, I do. And I miss my cows. I really enjoyed milking cows.
Yeah.
And they've all got their own individual personalities, and I miss doing that.
There's always different quirks to farming that it does if you change the, because you're now in Broadacre, it's a completely different ball game to milking dairy cows. So I'd love to talk to you about how you ended up in Albany or how you ended up in Australia. Can you tell me the story? I'd love to hear.
Yeah, well, my parents would probably have liked me to have been a teacher, I think, if the truth be known. But the agriculture got into my system, and I suppose from there, after tertiary education, I wanted to go travelling and experience agriculture in different countries. So Australia was sort of a natural pick to come out here and have a look.
Yeah.
And I ended up arriving in Australia in the worst unemployment, 11% unemployment that you could, at the end of the 89, and which we haven't seen since. And looking for a job on a farm, and I got told you know there's no jobs on farms for men at the moment, let alone women. But I ended up on a sheep station. I ended actually up on a sheep station out at Leinster.
Yeah, okay.
And working as a station hand there for one of my first jobs. And I met my husband out there, so but he's my first husband. So I met him, and we were married for 10 years and had two kids. So we were out at Leinster, and then I moved down to we were there for about 3 or 4 years when I was there on the sheep station, which I loved. I really, really loved it. But the wool industry collapsed, and we moved down to Hopetown onto a Broadacre property down there, managing a property down there. So I spent some time there. And anyway, I've eventually got to Albany. It's a long story, Lorena. The older you get, the story gets longer. It's a long story.
I love it though. It's everyone's got a unique story, and I love it.
Yeah. So I spend my time. So I'm now remarried to somebody who's got farms in, you know, we've got farms in Fitzgerald, between Ravensthorpe and Yeomanga, and we bought a farm out at Frankland back in In 2016. So,
gosh, that was a good buy, I think. That's the place to be.
Yes, it has proven to be very good in the last couple of years. A bit wetter than the south coast at the moment, which is pretty dry.
Mm.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, as you know, I spend my time around those three. You know, like, so I'm here in Albany. I've got an office here in Albany. And then I spend quite a bit of time out on the farms as well. So, I'm spinning myself around a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, not much time off, but that seems to be the common theme, that everyone is quite spread thin, but also knowing how to juggle a lot successfully.
Yeah, I try.
That's all you can do. So you were a 2020 AgriFuture Rural Woman of the Year finalist. What has the experience been like for you?
It's been a bit surreal, actually. I was thinking about that. It has been a bit surreal. I think you tend to put the people that have been selected as finalists before you. You tend to put them on a bit of a pedestal and look up to those sort of women and go, you know, like, wow, aren't they, don't they achieve so much?
Mm.
And to then, to actually being selected, it makes you really proud, but at the same time, it's a bit surreal to think that you, people look at you like that too, possibly, I don't know. But yeah, some of the comments I get, you go, oh yeah, well, that's what I thought about some of the other ladies that have been selected before me. So yeah, it's great. It's real. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, it definitely is something that you do see these women and you feel like, oh my gosh, how much are they doing? And to be selected yourself and to actually have someone recognize your achievements, it's pretty special, isn't it?
It's a hard feeling to describe, but it's certainly very appreciative of it.
Yeah,
and the opportunity to be able to apply for something like that.
Absolutely,
I think it's really important. It's a really important award to shine the light on rural women in regional Western Australia.
Oh, absolutely! I think to have this opportunity, so we can keep continuing to share stories like yours and all of the women to come, is really, really important, because like yourself, you've been in this industry for a long time, and I mean, we haven't even touched on it, but I bet when you're at university in England, there wasn't many women doing your degree, I'm sure. So it's really awesome that we can now talk about it.
Yeah, no, that's true. There weren't many women, I can assure you.
I think it would have been a few strange looks. And now that we want women back in this industry, and we want women to teach other women to come back to this space, so we can keep continuing to grow it for women and be diverse. Sorry.
Yeah, and it's a great industry for women. I think, you know, it's got great opportunities for women. They work really well in the space, I think.
Yeah, and I think this award is really highlighting that there are so many different areas, which I think traditionally you think agriculture, you think a farmer, you think crazy hours, but there are so many different areas that you can go and work into. So this is really awesome as well. Like yourself, you're on farm, but you're also off farm. You're doing a variety of different projects. There's a lot you can be involved in.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, there is. It's a lot.
So since becoming a finalist, what has changed in your business, or how has things changed day to day? I know obviously COVID, there was a few events that were supposed to happen, but can you talk about what's changed in your business since the award? You've been recognised as a finalist?
I think probably there hasn't been any major significant change, but it's certainly given me a platform to talk about my project and what I've been doing, and it's really given me that platform to talk to people, a wider audience of people. Like, for example, this, I wouldn't have ever had the opportunity to do something like this without the award. And I've also been able to the award drawn the attention to what I'm doing, and more people have been asking me about it.
Yeah.
And I've been able to talk to them, and even it's created some collaboration with a few people.
So, amazing.
Which is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
My one of the banks contacted me to find out a little bit about what I'm doing as well as a result of winning that award, it brought it to their attention. And although it was networks I already knew, it was the fact that they saw me as a finalist and then started talking to me about what I'm doing. And it sort of made it real for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Start to take it a little bit more seriously even.
Yeah, very much so, I think. Yeah, definitely.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it's like being a part of the Triple R network? Because this is an amazing opportunity for us to be able to share your stories, and there's so many women doing amazing things. So how has your experience been with Triple R?
Yeah, well, with Triple R, over the years, I've always had their newsletter sent to me, you know, like for years, when they used to have a newsletter, you know, the paper.
The magazine, yeah.
Yeah, the magazine sent to me. So I've had that for years, and it's, I think, just that connection with seeing what other women are doing in the regions, and really, the awareness that it creates is just fantastic. And then I think now Triple R Network, you know, they've gone online a lot more. I think that makes everybody so much more accessible.
Mm.
So it's fantastic to, you know, to have that accessibility to more women, and to know that you could probably just, if I wanted to, I could go and email somebody or contact them through the Triple R Network. You know, that the online presence makes it so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it like having the Zoom call for the announcing you guys as finalists and the winner? What was that, the Zoom party almost?
Yeah, it was so much fun, and it was such a highlight in the, I feel it was such a highlight in the calendar, particularly over those couple of months where, you know, everything had just started to shut down, and you could just tell the stress, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stress to it, and just to have that opportunity to see everybody online, and just to have a bit of fun and make it a bit more, you know, life, you know, was still going on even though it was a little bit different. I think it was done really well. It was, yeah, done really well. It was great thing.
I think it was so clever because often in Western Australia, we are so much larger than all the other states. So yourself travelling from Albany or even Jeremunga, you're driving 6 or 7 hours to get to Perth. And to have the option to do an event like that online, it saves a lot of time and effort because you're almost planning 4 or 5 days out of your business to get to something like that.
Yeah, it does, Lavina. It makes a huge, it does. It's, you know, like that, it's a 3-day, you know, for me to go up to Perth, it's a 3-day, you know, it's that 3 days out of the business, you know, out of my time.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't too upset that it was online.
I'm very excited for the future, to be honest, because it's a lot of businesses are looking forward to events being online and being able to access all of Australia. And I mean, conferences in person are amazing, but it's also amazing to do mini events online where you can connect with different people of the same like mind to be able to have greater income, greater awareness and engagement.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and that's what I would say. I would say that's been the major positive effect of COVID-19 is suddenly people are really willing to use these type of platforms, you know, like, and you can do video conferencing and people are just so much more willing to do it. That's such a benefit,
the willingness. Yeah, I don't think before you would have had half your clients being too scared to want to do any type of video conference. It's just a phone call or they want to meet you in person. But yeah, I agree with you. I think this has been such a great thing in some respects in terms of technology for agriculture.
Yeah, and a real shift in mindset, I think. So
absolutely.
Really positive. It's for me, it's going to make a significant difference to my business.
Yeah, I would have to agree. The exact same for me. I think now being in WA as well, I think a little bit before we were forgotten by the eastern states because we weren't, you know, we couldn't just nip on a plane and be there in an hour or two like a lot of people. And I think now people are going to go, oh, it's easy, we just do a Zoom call. So I think it's really opening us up to nationwide work and impact, which is very cool.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it will. I think it'll really give us those opportunities.
Absolutely.
In lacking, really.
Yeah, 100%. So I want to know more about your business as an agricultural economist. Can you elaborate a little bit and tell me exactly what you do?
So I suppose as an agricultural economist, I analyse farm businesses or and farming systems. So looking at, so as an economist, so we look at how farmers can achieve productivity gains. And I suppose I make sure I understand the agricultural environment that, you know, we're working in. So that might be the, you know, the climatic environment, the natural resource management, you know, part of that, and markets, and also the political environment and policy setting and regulation. So it's understanding all those issues and researching them and making sure that you understand what impact that might have on a farming system and farmers' decisions. So it's so, and often what, as an agriculture economist, you do, you, you know, like you do a lot of research into those areas, and then what you're doing is you're actually modelling that farming system. You know, you're creating models and looking at the farming system and looking at the what ifs. So what happens if this changes to the farming system and productivity changes and profitability of farmers, and how farmers might respond. So that's really what an agriculture economist does.
Are you going to have a lot more work, or are you going to have a lot more of effort now that we've obviously been declared in a recession? Is that going to affect your job a lot in all of the decisions that have been made this year so far?
I'm not sure. Probably one of the, so it might be a positive or it might be a negative. One of the issues is I'm reliant on funding, you know, to do my work, because I'm a private consultant. I'm reliant on funding to be available to fund the type of work that I do and analysis. So I suppose there's got to be a need. So and a lot of my work previously has come from, you know, government organisations or funded, like industry funded organisations. So they've got to see, they've got to have the money available and the funding available to fund the analysis that they require. So I can see that's possibly the negative side of COVID-19 is, you know, funding will be less available, I think, for a lot of work, but the need is almost higher.
So,
you know, that's yet to play out, really. I don't know. We'll just see as time goes on what impact it has.
Yeah, it's a very difficult time, isn't it? We don't really, we can only see so far ahead, which is not very far in farming when you're relying on the rain. Can you tell me a little bit about your My Farm Smart product? I want to learn a little bit about this. I know we just talked briefly before we started interviewing, but I'd love to hear all about it, how it came about, and the new name and everything.
Okay, so My Farm Smart is probably exactly what I describe my job is, which is, you know, that like simulating the farming system. So what My Farm Smart does is actually simulates a broad acre farming system in WA. And allows farmers to put their own data into it, and in a relatively simple format. That then what they can then do is start changing some of the variables and having a look at what impact changing variables might have on their bottom line. So what it does is it generates a profit and loss for farmers, and it generates a balance sheet. And then evaluates and also provides them with an evaluation of their farm business. And it's, and what they can do is they can look at their different farming rotations. So they can look at their different farming systems and change their crop rotation or the number of sheep that they have. So they can start playing with their enterprises. And start seeing what impact it might be by, you know, changing one enterprise. You know, and they might like to look at, you know, for example, they might say, I'd like to grow more wheat, or I'd like to, what happens if I want to grow chickpeas or something like that, they can start having a look at different options that they might want to do on farm. And they can do that in a safe, I suppose, in a safe environment on a desktop and simulate it, so they can see what impact their decisions have on their bottom line before they actually go and do it in the paddock.
Yeah. And is the simulation, so say when farmers put in all of their data, is it going to be something that's automated through a back end that's all formatted, or is it something that they put it in and you do a report up for them? How does it work?
Yeah, no, it's all automated, Lavinia. So once they've bought a subscription for it, then it's all there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And once they've set up their farm, so, you know, it might take them a little bit just to set up their farm to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, it seems to take a couple of hours to put their data in.
Yeah.
And then once it's in, it's in there, and they don't have to redo that.
Mm-hmm.
But what they can then go and do is go and play with scenarios. They can go and compare different scenarios. Once they've set up their farm, they can then go, well, what if I do such and such, you know, what if I grow more wheat, or what if I have more ewes? They can go and make those changes and look at what impact that has on their farm, so they can compare two scenarios side by side.
Yeah.
And it also does the weather. So you can actually look at the different weather scenarios. So you can look at, well, what happened? So you can do it on an average season, and then you can go, oh, what happens if I have a poor season? And you can choose that as a weather scenario, as a poor season, and then it shows you what impact that has on your business.
Yeah. And who, when you see somebody purchasing this, what is the ideal target market? Who are the type of farmers? Do you think this is something that is necessary for every farmer, or do you think it's for young people who maybe are looking to get different ideas from different people? Who do you think will be purchasing this product?
Yeah, I think... It's suitable for all broad acre farmers that have got a mixed farming enterprise.
Mm.
So anybody with in WA, particularly with mixed farming enterprise, you know, broad acre, they can definitely use it, and it would be really, I think it'd be really a useful tool for them.
Mm.
I can see the strength in the tool for a couple of target markets. The real strength could be in a younger age group, you know, the younger age group coming in, and it's a real opportunity for them to learn the impact of changing decisions and looking at what their decisions might be and looking at what impact that has. Whereas the older demographic probably understands that quite, you know, they've learned that over the 20 years that they've been farming, and they've got that really good gut feel of, well, if I do this, I know this is going to happen.
Mm.
Whereas the younger age, and a younger person hasn't got that, you know, 20 years of experience behind them, they can start playing with a tool like this, and it's actually the process by actually using the tool. It's a process that they making the changes, which would be the most powerful thing, I think, for them.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I find this very fascinating, because I think there's a lot of people that do want to, you know, take chances and take risks that often were not taken 20 years ago. So this is such a good way to be able to do that without putting it into practice.
Yeah, and it just gives you some idea of what levers to pull and what the impact of those levers are. You know, like you can just start getting a real feel. So what it does is it builds up people's gut instinct and knowledge a bit quicker than having to go through 20 years of experience of living it.
Yeah.
And hopefully saves them some money save them some money in the time.
Yeah, and hopefully make them a lot more money.
Yeah. And it should. You know, like it, you know, it that's what it's built for. And I think the other market, I think a really important market for it is in that partnership when you've got, you know, a couple of family farms working, farms, like families working together on one farm.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good tool for communication and for, you know, say a partnership, they can actually, you know, start, if they've got different ideas of what they want to do, they can use this to actually communicate and look at, okay, if somebody's got an idea, well, let's use this tool to see what that idea might look like.
Yeah.
On paper before they implement it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's got a couple of really good applications there for that.
Yeah. And I'd love to know, how are you currently getting the awareness out? What are you using to get farmers interested in the product?
Well, at this stage, the product's just in its final testing stages. So we've got a few farmers testing it for us at the moment. Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants to test it, if anybody's listening to this and then they go, I'd like to have a try of it, they're really welcome to contact me and I can organize them to have a test, you know, to actually try it out. But we're launching on the 11th of August, so it'll be available for the 11th of August for people to subscribe to, you know, to purchase and subscribe. And I think when we launch, we'll, you know, start advertising it. And but at this stage, it's been just, it's just been word of mouth, and we're just finalising it and making sure that it's working well. So that's where we're at the moment.
Awesome. How exciting. Well, you have to keep us updated and we'll have to share it out with our audience once it's live. I'd love to know, embarking on this initiative, I think there would have been a lot of behind the scenes work. What's been some of the biggest learning curves from putting this app together?
Yeah, I think probably one of some of the biggest learning curves that I've had is the importance of taking people on the journey with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't underestimate that. I can't overemphasize how important that is.
Essential.
Because, yeah, it is absolutely essential. And it's something I think we often forget, but, you know, preparation's everything and good planning. And, you know, if you've got a great idea and a great vision, but to see it realised, you really have to have other people supporting you with it. Mm. and to take other people on board, to take other people with you.
Mm.
And it's really important that you really got to take them on that journey with you and have a shared vision, you know, that I think to achieve something like we've achieved, it's not possible to do it by yourself. You really need to have a team of people with you.
Yeah.
And that shared vision.
Yeah. And everyone's got something different to bring to the table, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose I was lucky enough that, I've worked with Meriden and District's Farm Improvement Group to achieve this, and also Tanya Kilminster from DeepHerd, who's based at Meriden. We started out with a project, and working together as a team, we did, you know, a lot of project planning and preparation, and it's been quite a long journey, and we've had a steering committee. So there's been a real team of people around creating My Farm Smart with a shared vision. Mm-hmm. And I just think, yeah, that learning that you've actually got to take people on the journey with you. It was probably my initial vision, but I had to create a team of people around me to really to create the vision, to create the reality.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that everyone's got a little piece of the puzzle, and for something so huge to come together, it's definitely, you've got to collaborate, which I think is something that in agriculture we forget a little bit because everyone's kind of running their own different games. But it's so important to share because there's so much knowledge that together we can achieve so much.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's, and that openness of sharing, it just, you achieve so much more, I think.
Mm, absolutely, especially when technology's involved too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for someone listening wanting to start their own business in the agricultural space, particularly, I guess we'd say you're probably more ag tech, what is one of your best pieces of advice?
well, the adventurer and the entrepreneur in me would say, just do it. You know, just be brave and just do it, okay? that, you know, just go and do it. But I suppose the economist in me sort of tempers that. And I go, you know, do your due diligence, you know, like you really have to do your due diligence, so you can get that word out. And it's, you know, it takes time to get something right. And I just think, understand that, you know, understand that things don't happen overnight and you need to do your preparation and your planning and get all your ducks lined up, or try to get most of your ducks lined up, so that I think you gain more success by doing that.
Yeah.
But I think you need to start. So if you've got a vision, you need to start and you need to be proactive.
Mm.
And that's probably the most important thing, is to be proactive and then just do it. But as I said, with good knowledge and good research and all of those things that you need behind you to do it.
Yeah, you need to execute it well. I think one thing a lot of other industries are forgiving, but agriculture is not really one of them. Often, especially launching something new, you got one chance, and if it's not perfect that one chance, then it ends up not going well.
Yeah, I agree. People have high expectations and everybody's busy, so people don't want to waste their time on something that isn't good enough.
Yeah, it has to be perfect. So I guess it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, thanks, Lavina.
You're going to do fine, don't worry. I think you'll do great. I think that the fact that you've been a finalist for the AgriFutures Rural Woman of the Year is pretty commendable, to be able to give you the ability to be able to be a very successful launch and hopefully see everyone across the state using this product.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, that would be great. And it has. It's been a great platform for that.
Yeah. Do you think that, because I know WA is your focus, is your long-term goal to see the product nationwide, or what's your future hope for once you've launched?
Yeah, I think it's got great potential to be nationwide. And it's, you know, it's the product that we're releasing on the 11th of August has great potential to be developed further. And I think nationally it's really applicable, and there's a few things that can happen to it to make it really applicable. And it's in even now, somebody in a broadacre farm over in the eastern states could use it relatively easily. But yeah, it probably needs some form of adaptation, but we're hoping that we'll be able to do that and eventually put beef into it. So at the moment it's got sheep, but I it won't be that difficult to put beef into it you know, down the track. So it's got a lot of room to be able to be developed further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how exciting. I think for anyone listening, they'd love to know, how can they find out more information about MyFarmSmart and where can they get in touch with you? Do you have a website available yet, or where can people go to find more about the product?
Okay, so I will have a website available on the 11th of August. So when we launch 11th of August, we'll have a website. I'll have a website for my own business, LA1 Economics and Consulting, and also for My Farm Smart. There'll be a website dedicated to that, so they'll be able to find out more. They'll be able to definitely find out more on the 11th of August, or Perfect. If they wanted to contact. Yeah, if they wanted to contact me personally, they can do that.
Yeah, perfect. I think once you go live, we'll definitely share your platforms. And will you have social media as well?
I'm sure I will have something in social media. It's not an area that I embrace, but I'm sure I'll find some way of embracing social media.
I'm sure you will. Lizzie, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really interesting to get to learn all about you and your amazing journey to Australia and now launching your product. It's very exciting times.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it will be. Yeah, it's really exciting. So, yeah, hopefully it will be successful and see how we go.
I'm sure it will. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Triple R Network podcast by Generation Ag. Stay tuned for another episode in this series in a fortnight's time.